Hey guys, awesome episode today. We talk about the fuckboy phenomena. Check it out, enjoy, share it with friends. The J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City, where every Tuesday and Friday, with your emails, your stories, your questions. That's right. It's the Friday edition, baby.
Friday, hump day.
That's right.
We're doing it.
We're past the hump day. We're on to the humping weekend.
Hump away.
Hump away. I love this music.
Thank you.
This is really getting you into the Friday groove. If you're waking up, you're in the car, start tapping that foot. Start bopping that head.
Bop
it's
away.
It's Friday, baby. Weekend.
Pedal to the metal.
If you're listening on a Monday, get in your Friday zone. It's Friday now. I don't care where you are. It's time to answer the emails. You send your questions. I feel like I'm working at like a cool, hip, like where, what's his name? Where La La Land. Like when, you know at the end of La La Land when he's got his own club?
Yeah.
I feel like we're in that club right now.
So when you think of jazz, you only think of La La Land?
That's the only thing I think of. And I'm walking through full suit. Three-piece suit, and I'm looking at a chain watch, checking the time, because I'm always in a rush.
Okay.
And then I walk to the front, and I go, and I snap my fingers, and I look at the waiter, I go, Chachi! Martinis all around in the front.
Vodka soda right now.
Vodka soda, get it to me. That's me. Running the J Train Jazz Club every Tuesday and Friday. And here's, if you're listening, people, and you're in the Sacramento area, why don't you sashay your way to the internet and pick up those tickets? August 22nd through 24th, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com. And if you're anywhere else, Instagram story, screenshot, do it now, tag a bitch.
Tag them immediately.
Amige. Very excited about today's guest, a newcomer to the J Train Podcast. The audience is pumped up. Feather Studios on fire today. Very excited, hilarious comic, Mary Beth Barone. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Hello.
Hello.
I have to say, I love all the sound effects on the pod.
Hello.
It reminds me of like listening to Z100 in like middle school.
You know what? We want a vibe here. We want a positive vibe because sometimes we're dealing with real luxury issues here.
For sure.
We're dealing with real problems. And, you know, we like to bring, and I got to, you know, give Shelby the credit here. Classic Shelb nails another one. He has brought an energy and a focus to this podcast that, you know, everyone says something about it.
I am a young, vibrant man.
That's what they say about Shelby. I appreciate it. I like to think that it adds like a little bit of another dimension to this show.
It does. You're not listening to NPR. We've got there's personality.
I'd say this is
surprises.
The opposite of NPR. And my voice level is the opposite of
yes.
And today we're talking with Mary Beth Barone.
Dating in the millennial world.
That's really
yeah,
good.
That is good, Shel. Oh my God, do that again.
Dating in the millennial world is a challenge for a lot of people. And today we'll be talking to Jared Freed about his new podcast, the J Train Podcast. And
I would love to go on NPR just to blow people's earbuds out. Like just
and
to
you
have
would.
Just to be like to really shock people that have them go, well, he's too loud. And it's like, yeah, well, fucking go outside of your library and fucking get into this shit. Shelby, you're very good at that voice.
Thank you.
You know what the secret of that voice is?
Yes.
Making like you're the wetness.
You have your coffee right there.
Yeah, but you're better at that. Like I can hear the saliva being used to make the words. Do it again.
We are in a waiting room right now.
Yeah,
and we're talking
it's
about
so good.
The
it's,
rainforest.
It's I could never smooth. Do it. My voice is too. My voice is getting raspier for some reason. I think I need to like go on vocal rest, but simply not an option. But like I hear my vocal fry. Like I wish I could do a voice like that. It's so nice.
It really is. I think it has. Yeah.
A lot of women on NPR get unfairly criticized for their vocal fry, unfortunately.
Really? What do you mean?
Like they'll do a whole spiel research on something and then some guy will tweet them like, I thought it was so funny and well-informed, but the vocal fry.
It's a power thing because I see it with every stand-up clip that goes up. There's always people that can't help the voice thing. Mm-hmm. And they can't. And I get it, too, where people I do the Bachelor in Paradise reviews and people are like, you're yelling. And I'm like, yeah, the whole thing is yelling. Like, I'm not saying I don't.
Hannah B picking Tyler over Jed this week and we're going to be back next.
Yeah, like that's not the vibe. That's not the vibe. Right.
Well,
your vibe is like. To be loud.
We're loud and funny, and it's like, you know, I just think when people come back with like voice level stuff or like the sound of it, like it is what it is. Like to say, you wouldn't say to like a jazz player he plays, you know, in a negative way, you'd be like, you would just wouldn't listen to it.
Right.
You know, there's this thing where, and I think probably women get it a lot. Like I see it with, you know, female, you know, posts of like their stand up. And the voice, I can't. And it's like, yeah, I didn't put fucking cyanide in your ear. Like, what are we talking about?
Also, just, yeah, turn it off.
Yeah, but your first instinct is to comment on, as if you're helping at all. That's right. The thing. Like, that's the voice.
Oh, my voice is, okay, you know what? I'll change it.
Yeah, I'm going to go to voice school. Yeah,
how do you live your life day to day?
How do you just go up to people, you order coffee, and they're like, hey, how you doing? You're like, my ears.
Ooh.
Mary Beth Barone, very excited to have you here. At Mary Beth Barone on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow, go support, hilarious. You have a show.
I have a show.
And we want to talk about the show.
Yes.
And it's coming to L.A., Dynasty Typewriter, September 12th. We have a large L.A. following.
That's a hot venue.
Hot venue, the Dynasty Typewriter. I've performed there before. It's like they're really making it into a thing. What is this show called? I want you to explain it. Give the pitch to people. If you're in L.A. September 12th, why they should go, what's going on?
Okay, so my show on September 12th at Dynasty Typewriter is called Drag His Ass, a Fuckboy Treatment Program. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the show was born out of my fuckboy addiction, which I've struggled with for 3.5 years now. And I finally got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore.
Okay.
So I decided to buy a whiteboard and put it in my apartment and track the number of days I've been fuckboy free.
Okay. Now, what would you define a fuckboy as? That's like, yeah.
That comes up in the show. I think the thesis is,
this is one of those things, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's a term I hear a lot where I'm not a hero. By saying this, but to me, I was always like, you hear the word slut growing up, and I would go, that's not the game. I'm not in the that person's a slut game. I've heard it. I've never sat there and be like, I will not hang out with you if you use such words. I've always just been like, okay, that's someone that doesn't really have the same sensibilities to me. To me, I would think that's the male version of slut, no?
It is, but I think with fuckboys, there's a level of like manipulation and misleading that is different for sluts. I mean, I consider myself a slut. I've slept with a lot of people but I'm very upfront with what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Whereas I think a fuckboy is the short of it is someone who will lie and say anything to get someone to sleep with them.
Mm-hmm.
And their intentions are, more often than not, unsavory or like malicious.
So, and the malicious is to have sex without the relationship.
To have sex under false pretenses and then, you know, whatever happens after that is kind of, they take no accountability or responsibility.
Now, like, I mean, you said you just said you're a slut. I would, you know, having a lot of sex doesn't make you a slut.
What do you define as a slut?
I don't
then?
Even know. I think it's unbecoming term. You know, yeah. I just don't think it's
I think there's a lot of people now who are trying to like reclaim the word. It's kind of like bitch. Now, if you say bitch in a room, it's people tense up a little bit. And I think that I call people bitches who are my friends. Like I consider a term of endearment. So I think, you know, slut and fuckboy mean different things to different people. And one of the things I talk about in the show is that a fuckboy can look like anything. You know, there's red flags. Mm. There's things you can kind of look out for, but you never know until you kind of experience it with that person.
So how does the show work?
So the show, I kind of opened talking about my 6-step program to recovery, which is how I kind of stopped hooking up with fuckboys. And then I invite comedians to come on and do either stand-up, storytelling, multimedia, bits about their experiences with fuckboys, and we kind of explore the whole culture of dating through that lens.
Okay. And are you hooking up now? Like, are you just not hooking up? Like, you know, how do you define, like, if you, what I, you know, my thought on that is like, everyone's not a fuckboy until they are.
Yeah. So I've I've relapsed several times, mm-hmm. and you put the count back to zero, and that's never a good feeling. But sometimes you don't know till after. So yeah. I hooked up with someone who assured me he wasn't a fuckboy. I got verbal confirmation. We had sex, and then he was. At the end of the day, he was.
What made him what was the change? Because I'm asking these questions because I'm genuinely interested. I'm sure there's men listening right now being like, yeah, I don't think anyone's looking to like, I don't think anyone goes into a relationship looking. I really don't believe like anyone that would look back at a relationship with me and be like, well, Jared was an asshole.
That's good.
But maybe someone is out there that it's like, Jared was a dick to me. He really treated me badly. That wasn't my intention going in. You don't go in saying, can't wait to fuck up this person's life.
Absolutely.
Know? And a lot of times when we give advice here, and a lot of times when women ask, what does the guy think in this situation? I always, you know, I reference like fears I've had, letting people down, ego, mm-hmm. that plays into it. Like, how did this guy, like for an example, go from not to one?
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. So there was a guy who reached out to me pretty shortly after he had broken up with his girlfriend. I had met him while he was still a girlfriend, mm-hmm. and he wanted to go out on a Saturday. We went out, we met for drinks with a group of people, and then we took a cab back to my apartment, and I said to him, if we have sex tonight, I'm going to want to hang out with you again. I'm trying not to do one night stands anymore, so mm-hmm. I'm making my intentions very clear to you. These are my expectations if we have sex tonight.
Got it.
So we go into my apartment, we slept together. He, you know, made himself very comfortable. He asked to smoke a joint in my bed, which I obliged, because as a woman, I'm always trying to accommodate.
Sure.
And I don't really make compromises
really
in my life. He got super comfortable. I don't try to make compromises.
Spark of a joint? Did he have an ashtray?
No, he did not. We were both, we had both been drinking. So, it is what it is. But
I just like the thought of, it's like lying back, pulling out a cigar.
Just like the 60s, you know? So then, you know, he said, well, I have to leave tonight because the marathon's tomorrow and I will have trouble getting home if I don't leave tonight because he lived uptown.
Was this pre-sex?
This is post.
Okay.
This is
post. Yeah, that sounds like post-sex talk.
So I was like, okay,
scurrying
no worries.
Around, getting your things together. Looking at the maps for the marathon that's tomorrow.
To see what you're, if you can use it as an excuse.
Been there.
Gotta get high before a marathon.
Gotta get high before
to
I
watch the marathon the
figure
next
out my route home. Yeah.
So then, you know, we never hung out again. And
did
I,
you
it was,
text him?
This man
like,
was a bona fide scrub.
Exactly. I did text him. I texted him the next day about something we had discussed. And, you know, the text conversation kind of tapered off. And then I waited like a week or a week and a half and, you know, just saw what he was doing on a Friday. He was very vague. And then, you know, he is a friend of my friend's boyfriend. So it's not like we're never going to see each other again.
Sure.
But it's to the point where, you know, he'll DM me sometimes about random stuff. He is a girlfriend now too. But it's just like, you know, going into it, I think the disconnect is when I make my expectations really clear and they receive that and don't act on it. They just want to fuck. And like, so now I'm like 200 something days fuckboy free. And I have not been really sleeping around this year as much. Like I've only, you know, had sex a handful of times, but I think it's just making like the people that I've chosen to sleep with, I've made sure I don't maybe necessarily sleep with them the first time I meet them, so that I can have a little bit more background on them.
Sure. That's my wonder, though. Like if a guy came to me and was like, fuck that chick last night, what a slut. I'd be like, well, what happened? And then he was like, well, I asked her over and then I said I had to get home for the marathon and you should get out of here. I'd be like, well, you kind of act like a dick.
Right.
You know, where is the female side of the fuckboy situation? Is that disgust?
Like, yeah. Because women can be fuckboys. You know,
but even like adding to like to me in that situation with that guy where you say, hey, I'm looking to hang out with you if we go back. And then he's like, let's go back. I feel that way, too. Then you guys have sex. He has his whole, you know, oh, my God, I'm, you know, leading the marathon. I have to be
running
a marathon.
Running in the marathon. So,
yeah, I have a 5K to get to. But then a week goes by and he calls you and go, you know what? I thought about what you said and I really didn't feel.
That is so fine.
That's better.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
Just be honest. You don't just, I think ghosting is just, and yeah, we've talked since, so technically it's not ghosting. And by talked, I mean he'll, whatever. But it's like,
it's a
level
push
of respect.
Off the dock, I call it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd rather have that than just be standing on the dock.
Sure.
Waiting.
I mean, there's a situation right now. I'm watching Bachelor in Paradise. We're taping this a week ahead of time because I'll be with the U Up live shows. But so I'm referencing old news, but in Bachelor in Paradise, there's this guy, Blake, and he had hooked up with two women at Stagecoach Festival, back-to-back nights, and then they were both on Paradise with him when he got there.
Ooh.
And then one of the women, the first one that he had sex with, was very aware that he had sex with someone else the next night from him, and then she wanted to, like, you know, challenge him on it. And then the other woman was saying that she was being hidden. But then they go back and look at the text. Blake then released the text. They show that she says she wants it to be hidden.
Well, receipts,
you know,
don't lie.
They
and
don't
I
lie.
Think that's something that in this day and age, we have so many, like, it just, you can't hide from the facts.
Yeah.
So that's dumb of her to try to play it off.
Yeah.
But it
was vague, though. That's the, you know, that's the, and then he got so bent out of shape that it was like a little ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I don't watch. I've never seen The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Oh, my God. The best show on television.
Crying on a chaise lounge.
He was crying big time to the point where, like, it was actually, it was like, it was as if Blake, and if you don't watch the show, I've written about it on Instagram stories, but it was really as if he was like, oh my God, my life is ruined. Yeah. He's like, I should have never, you know, hooked up with her the first night of Stagecoach. And then it was the second night and she was like, I just want it to be sex. In the text, she says, I just want it to be sex. It'll be nothing. And he goes, and I told him that's what they all say. And then we got to Paradise, and I was like, oh my God. She's saying I'm gaslighting. Now it's Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., me. That's kind of how
my
he was
God.
Crying, where it's like, it did sound like he thought he was now being put into the
Me Too category.
That category. And I was like, dude, you're going a little too far. He didn't say that, but it kind of gave that. You're like, dude, fucking relax.
Yeah.
But also, I understood that he couldn't win because of the words she was using and there are these buzzwords that you can use where it's like, well, that's it for that dude. You know, like he's these five things on Paradise. And I could kind of see because he was like, what's he going to fight her with? Like, you're lying. And now you're telling a woman she's lying. You know, it's like game over. So, I would say sometimes I think about the fuckboy situation. I'm always like, because like people do this with ghosting where they're like, I was ghosted. I'm like, well, what happened? And then they're like, well, we went on a date and he never called again. I'm like, that seems like you've used a term that seems more important for something.
Yeah,
that's, not as
that's giving weight to a situation that maybe doesn't necessarily warrant it. I mean, I think if, you know, it's good to push back on people like that because ghosting, it might sound silly to say you're like diminishing it. But like if you went on a date with a person one time and they didn't give you a courtesy text, I would say that's just like a bad date.
Sure.
I wouldn't call that as someone who has been ghosted. I'm just like, no, you did not experience what I experienced.
Sure. I listen, I've been there too. And for someone who has ghosted, I wouldn't feel weird seeing that person.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, how you doing? It's been a while. Remember that date? Yeah. Good to
Funny,
meet you.
Yeah.
I think this is interesting. I think the show will be great. Go, if you're in LA, September 12th, Dynasty Typewriter, at Mary Beth Barone on Instagram and Twitter. Go follow, go support. Hilarious comic. We're going to do some emails. You ready?
I'm so ready.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Before we get to the email, we're sponsored people. Guys are terrible about taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable with rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of it myself. Listen, as a person who puts off the doctor because you don't want to wait in the line, you don't want to have to make the appointment, you're lazy, you don't want to have to come to terms with weight you've gained or what you look like with the doctor and them looking at you going, what's with your cholesterol? It's all shit you don't want to deal with. And then you get to a point where it's like, you fucked, dude. It's over. So get ahead of these things. And really, we're the same about erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. One-stop shop where you can chat with a licensed U.S. physician who can treat ED. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/JTrain. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain. Complete an online visit. Chat with a doctor, and the doctor decides if it would be safe and appropriate. They'll ship genuine medication right to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online, get checked by the doctor, okay? Erectile dysfunction is a problem guys don't tackle. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/JTrain. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/JTrain. Love that. Mary Beth Barone, let's do some emails. You ready?
Ready.
Am I truly undateable?
Oh.
That was a sad gust of wind from Mary Beth Barone. Feather, I'll get right to it. I started seeing someone recently. I really like him. We've been friends for a while and decided to see where it goes. When I brought up going on a nice date, he was down but told me he doesn't want to get too serious. I appreciated his honesty, and I'm cool with keeping it casual. However, this is reoccurring for me. Every time I start to see someone casually and I try to get a little more serious, I get the same response. I love spending time with you, but I don't want anything serious. A guy I dated right before college once told me I was just not that kind of girl he wants to settle down with. That's a horrible thing to say. I'm 28. I have a great job. I'm very independent, so I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Am I giving off the wrong vibe, or am I just undateable? Any advice would be great, as my friends are absolutely useless. LOL. I'd love a celeb lookalike from Shelby. I'm telling you, you got to start charging for this shit. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mary Beth?
I think first of all, you are not undateable.
Absolutely
not. It sounds like you're maybe going for the wrong guys.
Yeah.
That would be my takeaway from that email. I think if you're dating someone and he tells you that you're not that type of girl to see long term?
Yeah.
Or to take home?
I can't believe someone said that. Just not the kind of girl
so rude.
guys want to settle down with.
I think that's complete bullshit.
I was just not the type of girl, the kind of girl guys want to settle down with. I can't believe that was said. That's an awful thing to say, and it's also not true.
It's also
but
not
for
true.
Every seat. Like there's something, you know, like listen, like, and I don't just say that to make you feel better. I mean, look at some of the couples out there.
If they can find someone, you can too.
Yeah.
I think it sounds, and I don't want to read too much into your, you know, what you'd said, but if you're not comfortable keeping it casual with the guy who you started being friends with, I would say don't just keep it casual because that's what he wants to do. If you don't want to keep it casual, you should move on.
I think you're right. I think also the answers are a lot of times in the emails. And I think part of her story really like is like kind of like a thing that goes on with a lot of people, not just her. She writes, seeing someone recently, I really like him. We've been friends for a while and decided to see where it goes. That is too casual for what you are looking for. Mm-hmm. So I think what she's doing is she thinks standards come later. And they really come first.
They come so right at the beginning. Right off the bat.
And I think a lot of people do this where they're like, well, we're casual now, and then later I'll start asking for my standards. And I, on this show, we get a lot of emails where it's like, I say to people, like, let's own what the standard is. But I think I do think you can be casual with someone with standards.
Right.
You can look at someone and, like, just like you said, you go, here's what my standard is. I think that's a great thing where you're like, I'm going to want to see you again. If you can't do that, then this ain't going to happen tonight.
And it was great meeting you. And let's part ways, and we won't have weirdness for the next 10 years.
And maybe he'll go home and go, you know what? I don't know if I can give you that answer right now, but it was nice meeting you too. And then they come back a week later and you go, actually, I was thinking about that. Let's go out again. You would take that date.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's no, I would rather you sit with it and reflect on it and make a decision having all the information than make a snap decision and say, well, I'll decide later.
Sure. And what you're doing in that scenario is you're reversing the whole thing. You're taking the whole dating time and reverse, you know, like the whole dating, like the whole, like, well, will they see me again? Will they not? You're saying, no. This is a party. I'm having one. You're invited to join.
Right.
But take your shoes off. If you don't want to take your shoes off, you got to go. And they can come. The door is always open if you're willing to take your shoes off. And I think that's where this woman needs to start. And I know what she's doing. She's saying, I'm 28. I got to find someone. So I'll just take anybody in that will walk in the store. But your store has to have rules to be respected as a store.
Yeah, and if your store is full of people who aren't going to buy anything, you're not making room for real customers.
That's the truth. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. What's up, JTrain, you stallion? I'm a recent post grad who, while in my senior year in the recent...
I think that last email there looked like a young...
Oh, sorry. I fucking forgot.
Oh, my God.
I was a... like a young Caroline Ray.
Ooh.
The aunt from Sabrina. Legend.
There it is.
Again, I stress young. Let's not get crazy.
Okay. Thank you, Shelby. Girlfriend and healthy living. I'm a recent post-grad while in my senior year and in the recent months of adjusting to post-grad life, have gained a few pounds. Like any reasonable person, I've started dieting and exercising. My girlfriend, on the other hand, comes from a family where everyone is pretty much naturally skinny and remained in shape the entire time we've been together. That being said, whenever we go out to eat, she is very insistent in ordering pretty unhealthy appetizers, then gives me shit for not eating them. On top of her parents living close by to both our apartments, and her family is Italian, so she eats dinner there and expects me to come about twice a week. Wouldn't be a problem if they didn't serve unavoidable amount of bread and pasta with just about every meal. Italians, man. How do I continue to try and diet and be healthy without stepping on any toes and drawing attention to myself? Thanks, guy who's trying to not be annoying, guy who talks about his diet. I love this question. This is an issue in my own life. Mary Beth, any thoughts?
I would say in these cases and in a lot of cases, what would potentially, not maybe not fix it completely, but what would help is communicating. Like, have you had this conversation with your girlfriend? Have you talked to her and said, I'm trying to be, your family is naturally thin. I'm trying to live a healthy lifestyle. And when you order unhealthy appetizers and pressure me into eating it, that derails all the work I'm doing.
It's interesting because to me, this is an issue I have. And I mean, like, and there's like a lot of talk, you get in a relationship, there's like the relationship weight. And you know, all that type of stuff because you're comfortable and you don't go out as much. You're going out to more dinners and you're doing all the
drinks all the time.
My issue, my girlfriend is naturally in great shape, and she wouldn't agree with that. She'd look at me and go, "Well, no, I have my own issues." Okay, fine,
sure.
But she will do the thing where she won't eat all day. Yeah, and then we end up at the restaurant, and then it'll be like midnight, and she'll go, I'm starving. And now, where I've had a whole day of like meal one, meal two, trying to, and then it's like day fucking ruined, because now we're in the fucking Italian restaurant being like, extra pasta fagioli, and give me more bread, and like, listen. All of us only have so much restraint.
Oh, for sure.
But then it gets blamed on you because it's like, well, then don't eat it. It's like,
no.
Yeah, but you've brought me to the heroin factory with my heroin addiction.
Yeah. It's, I think people have, everyone has such an individual relationship with food.
Totally.
And when you're in a relationship with another person, it's relationships are so unrealistic to me in so many ways, because it's like you have to be on the same page about so many things. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, like food, diet, and exercise. So it's like, that's just another facet of the relationship that you guys like have to come to terms with. It would be like, I mean, it's not quite the gravity of like, do you want kids? But it's like, this is what I need to do to be healthy. And you need to just have the conversation.
And also to feel good about yourself being with them. You don't want to hold it against them. Like, I find myself not saying it. And then being like, sitting at that dinner being like, fuck, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I should have been feeling good tomorrow. Instead, I'm here fucking going crazy because you decided to not have lunch. And it's like,
we both are paying the price now.
We're both paying it. So, yeah, I think the communication thing is big. I mean, in my own life, I have to be better at that. I think also letting her know this is going on, like, that, like, you don't mind, like, that, and, like, listen, for me, I need schedules. I need, like, portioned out meals or else it's over. Like, what you said about it being a personal thing, it's very personal. That's why hearing people's diets is annoying, because people go, well, you have you tried doing the, you know, starving yourself for 80 hours a week? And you're like, yeah, that's not how I operate.
No, I hadn't considered.
Yeah, yeah, that's not.
Actually hadn't considered.
Whatever's the easiest, I've considered.
Right. And I think also, like, going, being expected to go to family dinners twice a week,
that's
seems
a lot.
Huge.
Yeah.
That's like a lot. That's a big commitment.
I would say to her, listen, like, I'm happy to do one a week on a, like, on a meal where it's like, I feel like I've kind of earned it, considering my eating for the week. But, like, you got to have a little bit of empathy for my side of the aisle on this one.
Absolutely.
And I think having that conversation, I would also say to her, listen, I'm going to start cooking my dinners and you're invited. I'd like to have you for the dinner, but I'm going to be cooking a lot. I have to cook 5 times a week.
Yeah.
To feel healthy.
And that's a like being strategic, you know, maybe you go to family dinners the night before you have a morning workout. You know,
absolutely.
It's like figuring out the balance for you and her.
Yeah. I think it's, and like, I mean, I'm dealing with this currently and she's listening right now and I'm saying, I'm not mad, but I'm saying it gets, you know, especially because it's so personal. It's like, you know, like for me, finding an eating routine that works is a forever search.
Of course, yeah.
And it's like, you know, I was talking to the people, I was just in D.C., and I was talking to them how like every food, every ethnicity, every ethnic food has been bowlified there. Like they have a bowl for every ethnicity.
Yep.
And I was like, I was at the Indian one, and there was like, and it's like, all that bullshit is just people wanting to have a sandwich, but then being like, I don't want bread, put it in the bowl so I can just drink it.
Yep.
And it's a way of dealing with the thing that you really want to have in a healthier way. So it's like, we're all making trade-offs. We're all trying to find that fit that makes it so you can feel, and it's less about being healthy. It's more just about feeling confident and good in yourself.
Yeah. Plus at the fast casual dining places, it really takes all the guesswork out of it. You're not looking at a menu necessarily and ordering a meal. You're putting together, you're doing building blocks of a meal and it's like, oh, all these are laid out in front of me. I can see them. I'm just going to pick these three. You know, it takes a lot of the pressure off of eating, which I think people feel a lot of.
Absolutely. And then when you come to the end, they're like, would you like the bread? And you're like, I came here for no bread. You have that stare off, and they're like, they look at you like, I know you want the fucking bread, you bitch.
And you do want the bread.
And I do. Yeah, I do. But get the fuck out of my face. I'm not having the pita. Damn you, Kava. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Speaking of food, we're sponsor people. And listen, when you want to have that night where you're really going to like pig out, this is a great sponsor alert. Are you craving a partner, the kind that answers your beck and call? The one you can call to bring you sushi at 11:30 and wine at midnight and a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m. You can stop swiping. Postmates is here. And they're saying, hey, girl, Postmates is your personal delivery Sherpa. They'll bring you groceries, bottles of water, or really anything anytime you want. One time, Kylie Jenner ordered a single carrot. That's not annoying at all. Look at stars are just like us. Listen, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you want within the hour, okay? For a limited time, Postmates is giving my listeners, and I'm going to repeat this once, $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That is free money, people. $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app right now. Use code JTRAIN, JTRAIN, JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you want anytime you need it. Download Postmates and save with code JTRAIN. Postmates, get what you want out of life. Here with Mary Beth Barone at Mary Beth Barone. She's got a show. September 12th, the Dynasty Typewriter. Drag his ass. A fuck boy
treatment program.
Treatment program.
And one other thing about the show.
What about?
So I do a fuck boy redemption at the show.
Really?
And I am looking for...
So how does that work?
So the first two shows that I had the redemption at, I did Carl Radke.
Oh, he's been a guest on this podcast.
Yes, yep. And he was great. And so I put together a super cut of his fuckboy moments from the show. And then we had him on stage. I had him kind of confess his sins. And then we, you know, had him repeat after me how he's going to commit to not be a fuckboy anymore. This time, this month in New York, tomorrow I'm doing... just a civilian who walks among us. So I recorded some interviews with his friends and a former hookup that he had. Mm. So we're going to have him on and redeem him, hopefully.
Now, he volunteered himself.
His friend did. Our mutual friend volunteered him.
And he was like, does he know what's coming?
I think he does. Yeah. I made it very clear.
Yeah. And so you're looking for someone for the LA show.
Yes. So any LA locals, if you're a guy listening and you're a fuckboy and you want help,
yeah,
slide into my DMs. If you're a girl and you know a fuckboy who needs help, similarly slide into my DMs.
At Mary Beth Barone on Instagram. It is called Drag His Ass at the Dynasty Typewriter. September 12th. This is a perfect email for you. We have an expert on here.
Yes.
Fuckboy or boyfriend?
Oh, okay. Great. Hit me.
I should just search fuckboy in the inbox and see what comes up because I'm sure it's not the first. I listen to J-Train and you up religiously. Keep doing what you're doing. I need your words of wisdom. I've currently been seeing a guy I met on Tinder for about 5 weeks now. Okay? We've been having fun at first, but he's showing more signs of being more than friends without showing more signs of being more than friends without saying it. We hang out almost every day. Sometimes when I do certain things, he says wifey material, even though randomly he said he doesn't look to get married ever. We go on a lot of dates also, and I know we aren't together. He still talks to other women, which is his right. I've tried to make him open up more, but maybe it's too soon. I also can't help but think that I'm only there for his attention, nothing greater. I know I shouldn't be putting all my eggs in the basket for him and start going on dates with other people, but somehow I feel guilty for doing so. I want to think that this just needs more time and I need to give us days where we are not together because at the end of the day, we are only friends who go on and dates and hook up. What do you think? It's very interesting the way she labeled this.
Yeah.
That she writes, currently seeing a guy I met on Tinder. We've been having fun at first, but he's showing more signs of being more than friends without saying it. She's made this friends that fuck and date. To me, that's a boyfriend. What do you think?
I think a few things stand out to me. First of all, I think you should not only not put all your eggs in this basket. I think you should put no eggs in this basket.
Get away from it.
I think him calling you wifey. So here's my, and you're a guy, so you can speak to this, but
please.
I think when guys say things, a lot of times there is no subtext. Like him calling you wifey material, that's just him having like a quick response to something you did or said. It's not him thinking this girl is wife, like wife. Or maybe he means it, but not for him. If he's telling you he has no interest in getting married. And honestly, like, here's the thing. Something I'm going to talk about at the show is dating should be fun.
Yeah.
If you're having fun with this person and you've made your expectations clear and you are... you're enjoying what you have, I think that's great and you should continue. If it's causing you stress and you know he's fucking other people and you feel bad going out and doing the same, I just don't, that doesn't sound like a good dynamic for you.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is to have fun and, you know, you should have fun with someone. It's interesting. I like this email a lot because what you're saying is very true. Women think that, like, first of all, women think guys have no emotional intelligence whatsoever. So when he says wifey material, she thinks he's just saying that at her, that there's no return reward for saying such a thing. It feels good to see someone get excited that you've made them excited. Is that a good thing in the long run? Probably not. But understand that there is a drug being taken there. He is saying, like, when the wifey material thing, like, the subtext is more, I don't think there's no subtext. I think it's more that, look at how much she likes me because I said that.
Right. And, you know, if you're, I don't know what the context is. If you gave him an amazing blowjob and he's like, wifey material, yeah. Well, now you're going to want to blow him more. You know, it's it's self-serving in a way.
It's like a dog with a treat.
Yeah. And I also think, so I read an article a while back. I read articles only occasionally, but it said that when you first start seeing someone, you should only hang out max twice a week because if you don't, your brain doesn't have time to like sort through your emotions. So if you're hanging out with someone every single day, that's a lot of that person. And you can almost trick yourself into seeing only what you want to see. Mm-hmm. Like when I sometimes step away from dynamics a little bit and think like, do I actually like this person or are they just there?
Yeah. Is it just someone that's filling the void that I need?
And the void is big. Yeah. You want someone there.
You want someone, you know, anytime a relationship ends, one less person to talk to, text and hug. And that's, you know, really the reality. And you look to fill that void. And sometimes you just keep the person around because it's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think getting rid of him, I don't, whenever a guy, first of all, the wifey material, that's just a way to feed you the carrot that makes you feel good, that makes him feel good. Any guy who says in the first 5 weeks that they don't see themselves getting married, that is him giving you the stiff arm. That's him saying...
The Heisman.
The Heisman. He's Heismaning you sword because what he's doing is he's right. Every time you go on dates with someone, you're writing a contract. And it's the contract gets longer and longer of things you've said in the past. He can always look back, I won't get married, Trump's wifey material... Every time.
Every single time. Absolutely.
So he's built a contract of his own design. So I agree with you. I don't think this is going to get you this woman where she wants to go. Probably better to drop it. I would ask uncomfortable questions. I would make dating you a little bit harder.
Yeah. And I would say like really take time to like reflect on the situation. And if it is making you happy, continue to do it. But if the stress surrounding the situation is outweighing that, then as hard as it is to like end a good thing on principle, like just figure out if it's making you happy or not, I would say.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I'm looking up fuckboy right now to
perfect.
See if we have more.
I'm sure that it's a buzzword right now.
It's in the lexicon. I get it. I'm trying to see if these are ones that I've answered. Where did they find this? Inbox. It's called "Is She a Fuckboy?"
Ooh, interesting.
This is from 2016.
Oh. Okay.
Should we answer
these
it?
People could both be dead.
I hope we didn't yeah.
I mean, I think they might be married by now.
Oh, that's an optimistic way of looking at it.
Should we answer this?
Sure.
I hope we haven't done this before.
But if I'm sure there's new listeners.
I don't remember things we said last week.
It's true. I'm a senior from a small public school in New Jersey. Fucking mistake, I know, right? My semi-formal is coming up, and I have a dilemma. I asked this girl to my to mine a few weeks ago because we were hooking up pretty often, but it kind of abruptly stopped for reasons that I don't understand. Things were going well, and one time she said how I was the first person since her ex she could see herself with. Mind fucking blown. I mean, we're seeing a parallel here.
This, although this took place 2 years ago, this is a very small example of a larger issue. I would say.
What do you mean?
Just like this could apply to many situations.
Sure. I didn't think much of it, but when she said it more often, I couldn't help but start catching feelings. Mm. One night I blacked out, and she must have read my text to her big, who I'm close friends with, saying that I would want to be exclusive with her. I don't think I really wanted that. I just enjoy consistent pussy.
Oh, my.
As every guy
A lot
does.
Of layers here.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to sound tough while being vulnerable, which is hilarious. He's just like, I'm getting turned down. Does she want me? I love getting pussy. Yeah. This is from 2 years ago. This must have been a different podcast then. Maybe not. One day she kind of stopped seeming interested, so I talked to her about it, and she basically said she got freaked but never referred to anything specific. I didn't press the why because that makes me a little bitch. Again, wow. Vulnerable but not. I thought the conclusion of the conversation was that we both aren't looking for anything and would just rather keep it casual hookup. Fast forward to now, and I have to learn from her big that she doesn't even plan on hooking up with me at my formal and is taking another guy to her formal the day before. Kind of fucked up, in my opinion. My friends are on the impression that I should unask her. These people are already graduated. This is so yes. funny. But I think this is, you're the expert. I'm bringing this to you. Unask her and take someone else. But I'm against that because I feel that would make me out to be a whiny bitch that can't take no for an answer when I don't get what I want and could never be on friendly terms afterwards. My question is she a fuckboy or what she for what she did? Are my friends right or am I? If I'm right, I think the move is to make the semi-formal blast for both of us, but don't even think about trying to hook up with her. Any advice? What's interesting about this email... He, in the most disrespectful way possible, he's being respectful. Right?
Yes. I would agree with that. It's for like, sure. It's really interesting prose,
it's
to be honest.
Right? He's like, listen.
He's like, I love getting my dick sucked, but I really like this girl.
Yeah. I am taking this fucking slut to formal, and I'm not fucking touching her because I respect this bitch more than any other fucking cunt in my life. That's right.
We love to hear
the
it.
Bro male feminists. Listen, these bitches need to be respected and loved. I go down on pussy every day, every night, because these bitches don't know what they want, and I tell them what they want. That's bro feminist. Breminist.
It's a movement. It's a movement.
How funny is that? The Breminist. We got to make that a character on this. The bro feminist.
It's like that South Park, the character out of the PC principle, where it's like the opposite guy who's really aggressive.
Yeah, just these fucking bitches.
These fucking sluts
need reproductive rights.
Exactly. They're absolute whores, but they need rights.
These cum-filled rodents should be able to choose what they do with their body. What do you think?
And that's something we can all agree on.
Why don't these skanks make as much as us?
Yeah. These fucking...
That's good.
This is either hilarious to someone or they're like, I'm turning
this
off.
Or this is over
right
the
now.
End of the podcast the end of their for them.
Show, the show for them. Yeah. What do you think?
Okay.
Like, what would you do what would you want as the... If you're the... Like, it seems like she's going with him to be nice.
I agree. And it seems like she maybe changed her mind about what she wanted throughout the courtship, which mm-hmm. I think is totally fair. But if she read your text, I think that's fucking weird. But I think that's also kind of jumping to an assumption.
Sure.
Anyone invading your privacy like that, I don't like that. But
if I had heard from her, like if I had heard from the friend, like, hey, I read your text, I would go to her and be like, hey, I heard you read my text to someone. I don't really feel comfortable with that. I don't hate you, but I don't think us going to the formal together is the right move.
That's totally fair. And I don't think as a girl I would take that and be like, you're a dick. We're never speaking again.
Sure.
That's a fair thing to say. If I was taking another guy to my formal, I mean, you don't know the situation. There might be other shit going on there, but I think it sounds to me like she is not interested in pursuing something. So best to cut your losses. Is she a fuckboy? I would need to know more about the specifics. If she told you that she could see herself dating you and you were the first person she thought that about since she broke up with her ex, that's a little misleading. If a guy said that to me and then pulled the rug out from under me, I'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the last situation where people say things, male or female, to when they say something to you, they say it for themselves too.
Yeah.
You're the first guy I've ever been with that since my boyfriend that made me feel good.
She maybe believed that at the time she said it.
She maybe believed it and also maybe said it because it felt good to tell you those things and to see how excited you got. In the same way the last email, it was exciting for him to say that you're wifey material.
I also think people ease into vulnerability. Like it's really hard to be vulnerable with someone at the very beginning. So people can use these little, like, calling someone wifey material or saying, you're the first person I could see myself with. Mm. It's dipping your toe in the water. That's like, I'm almost letting you in, but not really.
Sure.
And that's fair. Like, people, that's just people being people.
Yeah, I guess I would have broke. It's hard to take this advice, but to call her and be like, hey, can we just talk this out? I get that I know you're going with someone else to your formal. I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a brushback. I'd rather go with someone who is excited to go with me.
Yeah, who's interested.
I hope you can understand that.
And I'm trying to get my dick sucked, and you said you wouldn't hook up with me. So
that's right, bitch.
Just be upfront about that. I really would. I don't know if you do this, but if that person is listening, I would love to hear what happened.
I would too.
If that's at all possible.
Send it in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsored, people. Woo! You know what? You know what's the worst part of my day? Not remembering a password. That is such a pain. You're sitting there, and then it's like the clock starts strike. You know, the tick-tock on the clock. You got one chance, two chance, three chance. Locked out. Oh, the horrors. It happens to me every day because what do you got? You got Netflix, Hulu, your Gmail account, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. How many passwords do we have to know? That's why you should be using Dashlane Password Management. Dashlane isn't just your average password management app. It's the Ferrari of password managers. Yeah, that's right. This podcast, we deal with high-end password managers. That's what Fast Company says, because Dashlane saves and autofills your login info everywhere and across all your devices, your phone, computer, tablet, on any operating system. No more writing down or guessing your passwords. The average person spends 11 hours each year resetting their passwords. That's crazy.
What?
This really helped me because another podcast, we all have access to the Patreon and the SoundCloud, and one of them, like, a real freak thinking people are going to break in. So he uses this automatic password thing.
Oy.
But it's all like everyone's like Minnesota.ambulance. Like cow. And you're like, I can't. You change it every month. I can't remember this
later,
shit.
7 years later, you're in the account. Yeah.
And yeah.
So not, well, that's why you got Dashlane.
It's changed my life.
Changed Shelby's life. Dashlane is secure. It's easy. It's password magic. Over 11 million people use Dashlane, including me, and now you can too. Dashlane has an exclusive offer for our listeners, a free 30-day trial of Dashlane Premium. To redeem, go to dashlane.com/jtrain, dashlane.com/jtrain. If you have more than one password, Dashlane is a no-brainer. Go to dashlane.com/jtrain and start your free 30-day trial right now. Fix your password problem once and for all and support our show at dashlane.com/jtrain. I love that sponsor because it immediately helps all of you. So get involved, get involved. Do we have time for one more?
One more email.
Mary Beth Barone, at Mary Beth Barone on Instagram and Twitter. September 12th, Dynasty Theater, drag his ass. Go to the show, go support, get involved. I'll give you the choice of the email title.
Okay, great.
Do I keep the summer fling going? Forever long distance with no commitment. The post-date realization. How to love a performing guy going on tour. Should I let go or death from texting help, Jay? Lube question.
Oh,
turned
my God.
Turned on by unavailability. Will he pick up or pack up? Is it cheating if it closes a chapter?
I think, do you want to keep giving options?
I mean, moving in together, they're all here.
I like, what is it? Unavailability?
Five men from my past coming back to apologize years later.
Ooh.
Five.
Okay, I'm very curious about that, but I also think turned on by unavailability that's very topical for me personally. So I'm curious.
Let's do it. She sent pictures, the whole deal. Started listening to J Train Podcast and you up this year, and I've come to make your yell talk a part of my daily routine.
Aww.
I was hooking up with a guy last year. We'll call him B. Things ended up fizzling out after a few weeks, not long after his best friend, we'll call him Jay, followed me on Insta and then slid into my DMs. I had met him at a party that B brought me to while B and I were still hooking up. I assumed since Jay didn't seem to care that his childhood best friend and I were hooking up not that long ago, that he was definitely interested in getting with me, or he wouldn't have crossed that awkward line. I was hesitant at first, mostly because what B would think of how I would look for getting in with two guys who are best friends. But eventually I showed interest and we began texting, Snapchatting quite a bit for a while back and forth until we finally hung out and had sex. After we had sex, the texts and snaps stopped coming from his end. He would even open my snaps and not respond, which he would immediately respond before we hooked up, would also reach out every day before as well. I am now abroad for the summer and we've been sporadically messaging, but I assume based on his previous behavior that he just wants sex and casual with me. He asked if I've been hooking up with guys here and if I've replaced him, his words. I have something to say about that. But when I told him that I am, he started saying things like, well, I'm definitely better, and message me when you're back and maybe we can hang out. I know he sounds like a complete fuckhead, and I probably sound like an idiot for even putting up with this, but I'm just curious about whether you think he gets off to thinking that maybe I'm unavailable to him. Would also like to add that Jay FaceTimed B multiple times while I was at B's place, knowing that I went home with B those nights. If this matters, I'm 23, he's 27, and we currently live in the same city. Thanks. Would love a celeb lookalike attached pics below. What do you think?
This guy sounds really selfish.
Yeah.
And I think he wants you and he can't have you, and then he doesn't want you now. Or maybe he does because you're away.
Well, I think the away thing allows him to get away from farther and farther away from when he was a dick. And it's like lives in the land of like maybe you've changed, maybe you've come around. But it's really a way of like kind of holding on to you. Like for him to write not as good as me and all that stuff while you're thousands of miles away, that is him saying, I still like you. I'm being flirty, but I can't do anything about it because of the built-in excuse.
But exactly. It's so easy to be like present, quote unquote present, when they're abroad for the summer. Yeah. Like, where were you when I was here? Like, you're not showing up for me.
It's the problem with texting is that you're abroad and he gives you comfort because it's a little bit of attention during hours that probably you're lonely and you're away for the summer. And it's like, yeah, it looks like he's there for you, but he's not. He's shown his actions. You being unavailable to him makes you easy to text, not more desirable
necessarily.
Yeah. I don't think like he looks at you and goes, well, now that she's gone, well, how could I live on? I must get her back. It's more you are more like, it's like there's no losing. There's
yeah,
no
plus
death
if he's texting you saying, oh, well, they're not better than me. And you being like, haha, no, of course not. It's like, well, you're pumping his ego. It's like, it seems very selfish.
Yeah. I would get away from this dude. I would stop texting with him. Stop messaging him. You're only going to get, with a dude like this, I just know from experience, he's coming back during a time where he can't be a dick. So you're just going to go back on the merry-go-round. J Train Podcast.
She looks like Meadow from The Sopranos.
Yeah, I'd say very Meadow-ish.
Thank you.
Yeah, good one. Classic Shelb nails another one. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Ooh, there's a lot of text in this one. Ooh. Did we miss the boat?
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Why do men come to these so much farther in the future? Should we do this one? How much time we got left?
One more.
Let's do one more.
Let's do it.
At Mary Beth Baron. Go follow. Go support. Feather, I love you for your inspiration. I'll get right to the email. I wanted to discuss the concept of men from the past trying to come back into my life. In the past year, I've had 5 men, 1 ex, 2 situationships, and 1 friend from my past either text me apologies years after the fact or try to come back and talk to me like they had wronged me in the past. See below. Number 1, ex-boyfriend from high school, last seen 3 years before Please don't use real name. Okay. Hey, I was wondering, this is him. I was wondering if you would be in blank at all before school starts in the fall. If so, I would love to see you again. I feel terrible about the way I left things with you. Given the chance, I would love to reconnect. You were one of my best friends in high school, and I feel that it was absurd of me to let personal issues fuck that connection up. I don't know if you are interested in meeting up. Just let me know, though. I'd understand if you never want to meet with me again. In any case, I hope you're doing wonderfully. What do you think of that text?
That's... wow. I'm shocked that a man wrote that. No offense.
Well, it sounds like she says 3 years before and they were in high school. Let's call them juniors and
in college.
Do we want to read what she wrote back? Does it matter?
I think let's read the second one. The dudes.
The two situationship from the past text is from a year after the last contact. Hey, I don't know if it's weird for me to reach out. Actually, it almost certainly is. I'm not good at this stuff, but I would really love to catch up and hear what you're up to. She then asked him what brought this on. To be honest, I've been wanting to for a while, but I decided to today because I've been writing my personal statements for blank school and they're formatted as a development of me story. And I guess I just realized how much of what I am today was because of you.
Whoa.
Feels weird to articulate it like that, but yeah, I don't know if that was a bad answer. He writes, 3, friend from high school seen last year. Are you going to be in blank this weekend? Why would I be? Nah, I'm in blank all summer. To party with me, of course. I'll be there this weekend, but I suppose our paths will have to cross another time. And then she says, I don't mean to be blunt, but the last time I saw you, you were incredibly rude to me. And I've realized that that's the tone of a lot of our interactions, so I don't really know what you want our paths to cross again. Thank you for being blunt. It's always appreciated. Well, I'm very sorry about that. And failed to realize I was doing that all the time. I have been trying to get better about doing that kind of shit, so thank you for telling me. I guess then I'd want our past to cross to reconcile our friendship, but if you do feel as though that's something you'd want to do, I totally understand. So she writes a whole long thing.
Man. She should be getting paid for this.
4, situationship from a year ago. Still alive?
No response.
No response. About a week later, he writes, but like, really, you still kicking? You were kind of sick last time I spoke to you. I'm still alive, still doing much better. Still a little sick, but doing much better. Holy fuck, I literally thought you were dead. Same problem. Still no idea what's going on. Alive, dude. He says, what's up? Well, beats being dead. He's happy she's not dead.
Wow.
Other than that, what's
poetic.
Up? It's been a while. She says, and then she writes back, I don't want to speak to you. No hard feelings, but there's a reason I didn't respond before. It's because I'm different now and I don't really want to be in each other's lives anymore. Oh my, LOL, I'm happy for you and that's all fine. And then this is the friend from high school. This is the 5th one. Do you ever get... Okay, good. It was corn. But just wanted to say sorry for treating you how I did in high school. Have owed you apology for in a minute. Thank you. You don't need to do that. What do you mean? I've always felt that I've been kind of an asshole at some point. So she writes, what do you make of all this? Those are 5 different people.
I have a few theories.
What do you make of this? Why do men come to these conclusions so much farther in the future after I've moved on together and no longer care? It's been happening to me randomly bunch in the past few months, and I wanted an opinion from the experts. Don't use my real name. Okay, well, I didn't, but I think, you know, should say that in the beginning. Tell my exes to stop coming back too late. What do you think? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, good on you, and you didn't owe any of these guys an explanation, but, like, the amount of emotional labor when a guy who wronged you comes out of the woodwork, the amount of emotional labor it takes to actually craft a thoughtful response and, like, engage them in a discourse. It's a lot for women to deal with, and men too, when they're in that situation. So first of all, like, you're doing God's work, but also I think, like, this could be genuinely like guys just getting a little bit more mature.
Sure.
If you are, you know, in your early 20s, maybe these people have had time to reflect and they're also maybe reacting a little bit to like the culture of what's mm-hmm. happening. Like when the Me Too movement happened, I had a few guys reach out saying like, yeah. I'm sorry for what I did to you and all that. So, you know, it could just, I would say 5 in a year is an exceptionally large number.
Yeah. I you know, there is a element of this. And she emailed and I'm happy she did. And she came to this podcast to get some thoughts. And I agree with what you're saying, where it's like people grow up, you're young, people are experiencing sex earlier and texting and all this fuckboy stuff is now around high school people too. That I wasn't walking around high school being like I didn't have sex until my freshman year of college. Like it wasn't like, you know, this was something that like I didn't have people from certain, there's people from high school that I've gone back and, you know, felt regret of how I acted immaturely and from when I was young. So, but I just didn't have access to the, you know, the tools.
Absolutely.
That certain, these people certainly have. But I, you know, it's tough for me to look at 5 people and then say to you, well, you're not a part of this at all.
That's true. That's so valid.
And it's like, you have 5 and you say, and you're young. This is someone who's a junior. So it's like, I begin to wonder. And the one thing, the one that's jumped out at me is the guy who said he's sorry. The one that, of them all, the one that jumps out to me is this one. Are you going to be the friend? Friend from high school seen last year. Dude, I don't want to say, last time you were incredibly rude to me. This is someone they thought were friends. So like, how rude were you? To me, there's a certain type of person, male, female, whatever it may be, that is a little self-conscious. So they come, so they're often the person that will come back at you with, you know, with jabs. Where it's, there's never real conversation. Like this kid to party with me. I'll be there this weekend, but I suppose our paths will have to cross another time. Dude, I don't mean to be blunt, but last time I saw you were incredibly rude to me, and I've realized that that's the tone of a lot of our interactions. 2 people to tango.
Absolutely.
When you improv with someone, a good improv is yes and. Yes and this. There are a lot of no but people. And I see it conversationally, and it's usually the most self-conscious people. So you have to come to terms with maybe your own confidence issues too. And he wrote back, thank you. Appreciate you for being blunt. It's always appreciated. So is this happening? Are you a blunt person for the sake of being blunt? Are you that person? I'm that bitch. You know, like, are you that person? Are you the sarcastic one where people use a word like sarcastic, or they say I'm sarcastic to block that they're an aggressive person to deal with on a daily basis. So let's look in the mirror a little bit.
Absolutely. And like, if you have 5 people reaching out warranted apologizing to you, then I would say maybe you're picking bad people.
Yes, you're a part of this. So and I usually think this is from, because I've been on dates. I've dated girls before who were, I could tell were self-conscious, and in place of it, were just kind of mean.
Oh, and God, yes.
Yeah.
I was in a situation like that from a Hinge date. It was a second date and he was negging me the entire night. And I texted him the next morning and I said, you know what? I don't think we should see each other again because you were really mean to me last night.
Yes.
And he said, I had no idea I was doing that. And it's like, well, that's almost worse than doing it intentionally.
Absolutely.
Because that's just your personality.
And also it's making me a part of, like, it's like you ever deal with someone who's like literally very depressed. And so they make you walk away being like, I feel sad now too.
Yeah.
They make you a part of their problem, which, listen, I hope they get help. I hope you go and maybe this, you know, this person, maybe talk to someone about it. Maybe talk to someone and be a little bit vulnerable with someone. But, and I've had that same situation where the girl will nag me and I'll say to them, I remember there was one girl that I was out with and I was like, stop it.
Yeah.
Put it away.
But it takes a confident person to be able to respond that way, I find. Because if you're nagging someone who's already self-conscious, I think sometimes it works a little bit.
Absolutely. And they come back at it, they think this is a fun game, but then it goes up and up and up and up to the point where you're like, I fucking hate this person.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of, so that one text kind of felt like that situation where the guy, because he didn't seem like he even knew.
He had no, he was like, are you around this weekend?
Yeah.
He seems like he thinks things are totally chill.
Totally cool. And it's like, okay, well, of the five, maybe this is the one where you go, ah, maybe I was a little hard on the person. And I'm not saying that she's wrong. I'm just saying, let's look in the mirror a little bit. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Mary Beth Barone, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Oh, so such a blast to have you. At Mary Beth Barone, September 12th, Dynasty Typewriter, LA. If you're dealing with a fuckboy, submit him. Right?
I would love to investigate
Send
the situation.
It in. Let's investigate. Shelby, thank you for popping on.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. I'm Jared Freed. Right now, this is the Friday episode. That means I think it's
August 16th.
August 16th. Tomorrow, Toronto. If you're in Toronto, come on out to the U Up Live podcast. Tonight is, I think it's Cleveland.
You're somewhere.
I'm somewhere. If it's Cleveland or Detroit, I think it's Cleveland. Whatever it is, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com. Get those tickets. Bring your friends.
Jaredfreed.com, everyone.
Jaredfreed.com.
Jaredfreed.com. That's where you go. It's Cleveland. Come out to Cleveland. So Cleveland and Toronto, I'm there. And then Sacramento, baby. We need you, baby. Come on out. Get those tickets. Bring the group chat. I'm bringing the heat, baby. So come on out. We'll be back next episode. Boom.